Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
11 minutes past the hour of 8, I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. How do you start a business from nothing? Well, be inspired by Nadine Hochter's story. That's tonight on the Ort Jet Show. That's happening today. Nadine is a trailblazer in the world of massage and doing massages together, virtual health, virtual reality. But back when she started her life as a Chevra Kadisha recipient. Today she donates back to the Chev. You can listen to her story, and that is about going from nothing to something. The Ort Jet Business Show with David Zadel. That's tonight, 6 p.m. right here on 101.9 Chai FM. A little bit earlier, I spoke to you about the blog that appeared and is being featured on the Times of Israel, all about South Africa's chief rabbi gets it wrong when he calls crime a genocide. I gave you my thoughts on it, and perhaps maybe a little controversial, although many of you do seem to agree. The approach, or the what I spoke to you about, is that we seem to be at an interesting point where the chief rabbi and his office is moving very much in one direction, the South African Jewish Board of Deputies in another. The article speaks about finding ways, working together to find a future, the chief rabbi holding the government very, very much to account and for everything that has happened. Not much talk of reconciliation there. Well, how do we marry these two, if we do? Joining us this morning is Karen Milner, and from the South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Professor Karen Milner, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard. I'm very well this morning. And how are you?
I am well, thank you. The article ostensibly talks about a definition of genocide. And it speaks about the fact that genocide needs to be, the word needs to be very accurately used. Otherwise, it is problematic. And whereas that might be the case, there's a real subtext to the article and to the blog, isn't there?
So I think I'm just going to go back to your previous point where you spoke about the fact that the Jewish Board of Deputies and the Chief Rabbi are going in opposite directions.
No, not opposite, different directions.
Correct.
Not necessarily
okay, different
opposite.
Directions. Mm-hmm. Okay, because definitely not in opposite directions. I think that we certainly do hold the government to account at the South African Jewish Board of Deputies and have done so, well, certainly since I've been chair and certainly since October the 7th. We've been very strong in calling out the government and on the various and numerous unacceptable ways that they've dealt both with the situation in Israel and sometimes with the situation with South African Jews. So I think in that, but we do it in a way that I think, firstly, is very much within our mandate, and secondly, is in a way that we hope will be functional for the future of Jews in South Africa as well, and that is that you engage respectfully, and certainly bringing in emotive terms like genocide. I think that, I mean, I've personally spent the last 20 months of my life making sure that people use terms like that accurately, including on an interview quite recently, in fact, on Yom HaShoah with the ENCA. On Yom HaShoah, ENCA spoke to me about Yom HaShoah. They barely gave me a moment to talk about Yom HaShoah. They barely gave me a moment to mourn, to inform people about the Holocaust, and they immediately jumped to asking me about whether there's a genocide in Gaza. And I called them out in the same way to say that you really need to use these terms much, much, much more carefully. It doesn't mean that you can't, that you don't have sympathy for victims. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be calling out what is terrible in South Africa. And crime is horrific in South Africa. Farm murders are absolutely terrible in South Africa. But once you start using emotionally laden terms, firstly, they're emotionally laden. Secondly, they have very specific legal meanings. Genocide is a legal term. And thirdly, given the fact that the Genocide Convention emerged after the Holocaust, was specifically in relation to the Holocaust, we do need to be sure that when we use it, we do so with extreme caution. And as a result, we had no choice but to put out that article.
So there's, of course, another aspect to it, which is getting the South African government to defend what is being called a genocide, and whether it is on a technical, in technical terms or not, shows them in a way what they are demanding that Israel does and what they are accusing Israel of. It puts them in a position where they have to say, no, the 650,000 people that have been killed and murdered during their reign, that's not a genocide, that's crime. And now then they're going to go and say, well, the 50,000 people of which, on Hamas's numbers, of which many of them are Hamas combatants. No. That is a genocide. Doesn't it work to discredit their argument? And yes, it's a lofty ideal to hold on to the meaning of genocide, but in many ways that ship has sailed.
I really don't think that ship has sailed. So on the one hand, where I do agree with you, it is as ludicrous to call the crime rate in South Africa a genocide as it is to call what is a terrible war in Gaza a genocide. And I think it is a terrible war, and I think that the crime rate is terrible, and I think that both of them are inappropriate. I think that to say, and I say this, and I mean this with respect, and I don't mean it sarcastically, I think that to say that the ship has sailed on respecting the term genocide, on respecting what we refer to of genocide, and not only Jews, what we're referring to of genocide, and I know I don't have to say this to remind your readers, but your listeners, but I also know that not everybody who listens to Chai FM is Jewish, so I'm going to say it. There are currently, only now, is the population of the Jewish world recovering from the genocide of the Nazis. That is what genocide means. I see no benefit to cheapening that term. We're not talking about something small. We're not talking about something that happened hundreds of years ago in history. Mm-hmm. We're talking about something which happened, and the victims, not that many of them, but some of the victims are still alive. So no, I don't think the ship has sailed. I do think that the term genocide for Jews means something very specific, and I don't think we should use it as a political tool of argument.
So what is your view then on the Chief Rabbi's videos? Whether he uses the term genocide or he doesn't use the term genocide, are you supportive as a board of that approach? Because it is hard-hitting, telling Cyril Ramaphosa that he's going to effectively burn in hell when he one day comes eye to eye with God, and that the Oval Office was not something that, you know, that was a joke compared to what he's going to face.
I think it's quite important to differentiate between the chief rabbi has a position, and he's perfectly entitled to hold that position. The Board of Deputies has a position, and we're perfectly entitled to hold that position. And we are very different organizations. In terms of the issue of genocide, that's very much within our mandate and very much something that we've been engaging on for a long time. Right. I do think that the political sphere, and I do think that the Board of Deputies does stick to our mandate and does call out the government on that, and I think that we do it very effectively.
Do you think that it's been effective enough? You know, because
I do.
And I'll tell you, my concern is with the best of intentions, and I really, really believe with the best of intentions, and because it's an organization with integrity, you deal with government and have dealt with government as though they have an element of integrity. But whilst dealing with government in 2017 and 18, they were already inviting Hamas in. While hoping to meet them in December of 2023, the government used the Board of Deputies with their own best of intention, the government's worst intentions, as a tool for the ICJ. Do you think that the approach until now, until 2023, worked?
Yes, I think that you have to see that, I mean, October the 7th changed everything. So it's really hard to evaluate anything that happened pre-October 2023 with anything that happened before that. The Jewish community of South Africa, the Jewish Israel, the Jewish communities around the world, I don't think that you can look in retrospect at pre-October 2023 to a strategy that was taking place pre-October 23 and try and project forward to an October the 2023 and post-October the 2023 world. I do believe that October the 2023 was a schism, not only in the Jewish world, but in the world as a whole, in terms of nobody was able to conceive of the possibility of what would happen on October. And I think at the same time, not being able to conceive of that possibility meant that you couldn't strategize, or you couldn't have a strategy on something that was inconceivable.
Although was it inconceivable from the ANC, from their perspective, in terms of how they were already, but how they were already welcoming Hamas to South Africa in 2018, should we not have been able to conceive that? I'm not saying we should or shouldn't have. I'm actually asking the question.
So I'll try again to answer it. I think that given the fact that, so make no mistake, you know, the ANC should not have been meeting with Hamas at any point, and definitely were and should have been called out about meeting with Hamas. Having said that, though, to judge our response to that in a post October the 7th world, which was something that nobody could have expected and nobody did expect, it doesn't really make sense. There's been a pre-October the 7th strategy and a post-October the 7th strategy. And I don't see how that could have been, how that could have possibly been the same. Again, I mean, including, I'm not going to go into the one day, hopefully there'll be an understanding of where the failures were generally that allowed October the 7th to happen.
Right.
So I think that the inability to predict this utterly grotesque, inconceivable act that Hamas did should not affect our way of thinking about how we dealt with that before that inconceivable event happened. Now we need to look at afterwards. You know, we have
and see a shift in how, exactly.
Exactly.
Karen, I do need to leave it there. Thank you. Just a few comments. I see that Barbara Klug says, well spoken, Karen, unsigned. Says, I'm very supportive of the board. The board has protected us from anti-Semitism. And somebody says, yo, Howard, you're being combative. I'm not. I have to ask these questions. These are the conversations that we need to be able to have. As you know, I'm a massive supporter of the Jewish Board of Deputies. I'm a huge fan, but it doesn't mean that we can't have robust conversations. It's 8:24.